Love you. Love you, Victory Church. It was an interesting text message that I got from Pastor Bill. Mike, you got 2 days to prepare a message because actually it was like 1 day. But the Bible says be ready in season and out of season. And just so happened that there was actually a secret plan that I had to do an entire sermon series based on my message last Sunday. And I revealed it to Pastor Bill this last week. God laid it on my heart because I got the gift of helps. I'm just here to help. So my desire was, Pastor Bill, if you don't feel up to giving messages, God laid a sermon. When does that ever happen? It doesn't happen. God laid a sermon series on my heart. So as long as I'm needed, I'll continue on with this sermon series. I hope you all were blessed by it last Sunday. If you need sermon notes, please raise your hand. The ushers have sermon notes for you. I guess everyone got it because you raised your hand for worship guides. So sweet. That's good. Good job, everyone. I'm really excited about this. This is part two of We Are Families. We're called to fellowship, called to fellowship. To start off, I want to share something really cute. It's hardly related to this message, but we got a newborn baby boy, and we're just so excited about him. His name is Gabriel. He's 10 weeks old today, 10 weeks old today. And yeah, we just love you so much. Okay, so this week has been a challenging week for our family. We, Lillian's, nope, don't show it yet. Don't show it yet. Too soon, Rob. Okay. Was a challenging week for our family. We moved into a new home. Lillian went back to school, and we got a newborn baby. So Lillian's a music teacher, and we're trying to work all this out. One of these days was just a little bit more stressful than usual this week. So I was with Gabriel in the morning. Lillian was off at school just making preparations for the school year coming. And I started taking some pictures of Gabriel because he was insanely cute. And you guys know what a meme is? Does everyone know what a meme is? A meme is like a cute little funny picture with a subtitle on there of possibly what the person's saying or thinking in that photo. And as a father, I'm learning the language of my baby boy, Gabriel. His facial expressions have meaning. And so show the first one. He overheard a conversation that Lillian and I were having. Show the first meme. Mommy's not having a good day. That space means mommy's not having a good day. And then the next one. I have an idea. He starts thinking. He gets inspired. And then the next one, let's pray for her. Isn't that great? Give him a hand. He doesn't even know what's happening, but whatever. We're going to teach him how to pray. Even now, we're praying together as a family. Awesome. So if you would, take out your sermon notes. And let's start with the first scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I shared this last week. It bears repeating. I want you to know how people who are members of God's family, say that's me, come on, must live. God's family is the church. So what we learned last week is we are family at this church. We're family in the body of Christ, in the Big C Church. We have an opportunity to have really dynamic, powerful, loving relationships in this church family. And it takes intentionality, though. It takes really a lot of love and a lot of forgiveness, a lot of patience. Last Sunday's message, we learn that we're born and adopted into God's family, that we have a loving Father. And if you want to experience the incredible power of God in your life, you really can't do it apart from the family of God. It's a really important concept that we talked about last Sunday. If you miss it, you can watch it on the church website and catch up. But that was a foundational message. Now we're going to dig into three things that we talked about. Well, actually, one thing of the three. So just write this down. Last week, a healthy church family fights to preserve, number one, fellowship. Fellowship. We talked about that last week. Number one, healthy church family fights to preserve fellowship. I'm so glad it comes at the perfect time when we're going to have these fun nights this Friday and the following Friday. And then right after that, small group semester begins. We're going to meet in people's homes and do Bible studies and eat together. That's so exciting, so relevant right now. So I'm glad we can domino this into all those events. The second thing we need to fight to preserve is mentorship. Mentorship. We're called to disciple. Called to disciple one another. And if Pastor Scott doesn't come next week, I'll be giving that part three of this sermon series on mentorship. Okay? And then the number three, we got to fight to preserve unity. Unity. We're called to forgive and to reconcile. We're called to be one. Jesus even prayed for us in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified. He prayed to his Father, Father, I pray that not just my disciples, but the ones who would believe in me, that's us, to this day, he said that there would be one, even as I and my Father are one. He was praying for us even back then, the night before he was crucified. He was praying for unity. So we're going to talk about that maybe 2 weeks from now in part four of this sermon series. Okay, so let's dig right into understanding fellowship. What do you think about when I say the word fellowship? What was that, Zach? Lord of the Rings. Fellowship of the Rings. Okay. Man, I wish I had. If I had one more week, I would have thought about that as an example. That's a really good example, actually. All right, but growing up in a church, did any of you ever have a fellowship hall at your church? A fellowship hall, you know what that term means? If you're new to Christianity, a fellowship hall is where you go, is usually right next to the church building and or connected somehow, and you go in there to eat lots of food with everyone in the church. That's the fellowship hall. So to me, I always thought fellowship is eating with church people. That's what I always thought. Or this happened. If you didn't have a fellowship hall, you had Quincy's. Anyone remember Quincy's? And then you go after church on Quincy's. You make it to Quincy's because they have those yeast dinner rolls. So good. Man, I miss those. And it's buffet style. And you go with your church family and you just eat a bunch of food. And you go home and you repent for the gluttony. And there. So, but that, to me, that was fellowship, was eating, a.k.a. eating. Maybe you're new to Christianity and you think fellowship, you think, wow, that's a weird Christianese word. You know, it's like you envision people around a campfire singing Kumbaya and everyone's smiling for some strange reason. They're just always smiling. Why are you smiling? I don't know. I'm just smiling. Maybe you think something like that. But here's the thing. Fellowship is so much more than that. It's so much more than just eating with Christians. It's so much more than just coming to church on Sunday. In fact, you don't fellowship here. You worship here together. You hear teaching about Scripture. You don't fellowship on a Sunday morning, actually. You fellowship during the week and in community. Fellowship is so much more. In fact, the early church understood this. They weren't tainted by church tradition. They had Jewish tradition, but they got to see firsthand Jesus' example and the apostles' example, the disciples who followed Jesus and were right there and learned from Jesus. They were devoted. You can read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's in your notes. These believers, these early believers, the first church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They didn't devote themselves just to eating together. It was part of it. But there's so much more to that. We're going to unpack in this message, what does fellowship really mean? Let's understand it together. One way you can understand stuff in Scripture, you can go to the original language that it was written in. So the New Testament was primarily written in Greek, ancient Greek. So I'm going to bust out a Greek word for you. It's in your sermon notes. It's koinonia. So that word fellowship in that scripture is koinonia, Greek word, and it's in your notes, fellowship. Yes? Association. Community. Joint participation. So they have something in common. Do you know what we have in common as believers? Our faith in Jesus. We have our faith in Jesus in common. It's, the Bible says the love of God is the bond of perfection. It binds us together. We have this joint participation. Also, as a church, we're called to mobilize. I love that we have part of a church organization that's ready and has the finances and the capability that when there's a natural disaster in our country, we got boots on the ground day one. Day one. So in Louisiana, there's help. There's aid right there. We got two ARC church plants or churches right there that are mobilizing their people. And like Pastor Bill said, we're going to find ways to mobilize and do something. But that's us. See, koinonia was derived from koinos. It's like a prefix that you attach to a word to give it more meaning. It means we have this thing in common, and we're going to do something about it. It's not just sitting down and eating. It's we're going to do something together. There's purpose. There's intentionality. Koinos. There's intentionality. So if you added it to like giving, well, we're going to give together with purpose. If you're getting married, they'd add koinos to the beginning. It's like we're going to be intimate in our relationship in marriage. It's so much deeper. Two things you got to know about fellowship. Koinonia is part of God's nature. You can write that down. If you really want to study something, study God first and understand God's nature. It is part of God's nature. And in fact, theologians call what I'm about to share with you is called the law of first mention. If you really want to study the purest teaching of something, go to the first time it was mentioned in Scripture and learn from it from there first and then move through Scripture and study it out from there. So I'm going to take you to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our image, in our likeness. So I don't know if you know this about God, but he is triune. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you're new to Christianity, that may seem weird. I grew up in the church. I didn't even fully understand it. It wasn't until I heard this scripture from Pastor Bill and realized, oh my gosh, like, I get it now. God's the same essence. He's spirit. He's one in essence, but he's three in person. So he's three distinct persons. And I didn't understand that concept until I started to understand how God actually made us. He said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. Now, this is important. I'll tell you why this is important just a little bit, but bear with me. I want to teach you a little bit this morning, all right? I'm going to teach you something. We're triune in nature, body, soul, and spirit. God's triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He did that intentionally. Now, have you ever heard this phrase, mind over matter? You ever heard that? Like, I think about when I was wrestled in high school and I worked out and I'd have to press through a set. My body is screaming, no, stop it. This hurts, give up, stop it. When I was wrestling in a wrestling match, there were 30 seconds left, but I'm winded, I'm about to give out. No, my mind was saying, keep going. My will was saying, keep going. My soul was saying, keep going, you got to win this match, right? So they're very distinct from, my soul is distinct from my body. My body is distinct from my spirit. They're three distinct, different parts of me, but still, it's, you look at me, the entire package. You're the entire package, body, soul, and spirit. When you look at God, he's the entire package, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're three distinct persons. He doesn't have multiple personality disorder. That's not what it is. Three distinct persons. Why is that important? Because he was eternally in fellowship. He was eternally in community with his Son. God the Father was in community with his Son, with the Holy Spirit. And you can go to every single person in the Trinity and understand they're in fellowship together eternally. It's part of God's nature. I know that was kind of deep, maybe a little teachy. Maybe you're not used to just a bunch of teaching, but it's an important concept to understand. It is part of God's nature. In fact, John chapter 1, this is not on your notes. This won't even be on the screen because I didn't get it to Rob in time. John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, he was with God in the beginning, talking about Jesus. Through him all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. So in the beginning, God was in fellowship. And in Genesis, he was intentional and he did something. What did he do? He created the universe. He got together and he did something. He was intentional. There's purpose. He created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it said the Holy Spirit was over the face of the deep, the waters. And then in John, it says that Jesus was there too. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says, And everything was made by him and through him. God was there in the beginning in fellowship doing something there. He was creating a beautiful world for us to dwell in. And he created us, created Adam and Eve. There was intentionality. There was purpose. He wasn't just coming together and just eating. God was creating. He was doing something purposeful, meaningful. That's fellowship. Second thing you need to know about God or about fellowship, it's part of God's plan for us. So God has a plan for us to be in fellowship. 1 John 1:3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. So they're proclaiming Jesus. They're proclaiming the gospel. So that, here's the reason why, so that you too may have fellowship with us, with other believers, that we have this in common, our faith in Jesus. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with believers. Very important, very important. And I don't want to leave out the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 13:14. Don't leave out the Holy Spirit, come on. He's not some weird ghost or apparition. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's our comforter, he's our guide, he's our teacher. He'll lead us into all truth. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, so it's talking about Jesus, the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's part of God's plan for every one of us to be in fellowship with God and with each other. We partner with God in ministry. I say this to our dream team leaders and to as many dream team members as I can. Don't minister out of your own strength. Minister out of the overflow of your relationship with God. You can't do it in your own strength. Even this Sunday morning I was praying, God, I'm nothing without you. I can't do anything apart from you. Jesus, you said, apart from you I can do nothing, but through you I can do all things. I trust you for this message this morning. Whenever you minister to a person, a neighbor, a coworker, believe, fellowship with God before you do it. Pray and say, God, speak through me. Let me be a light and a witness to this person. Let me make a difference in this person's life. Let me use my spiritual gifts that you've given me and work through them to be a blessing. God wants you to fellowship, to partner with him. He also wants us to partner together. That's why we have dream teams. I love seeing just our first impressions teams. That's our ushers and our greeters. They have these shirts so you can clearly identify who they are. If you're a first-time guest, you've seen them. They've handed a worship guide to you. Would you give our first time, or our dream teams, our first impressions dream team a hand? They're just doing such an awesome job. Thank you, guys. You're such humble servants, and I just love you all so much. You're so amazing. But they do it as a team, and they minister with their spiritual gifts. They just love you, and they love people, and it's so awesome to see them smiling. I get encouraged when I see them smiling. Give them a big hug. Give them a big hug on your way out, too. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I just told the whole church to hug you on them. But they're first impressions, so they can handle it. Listen, also, it's why we gather in small groups. Fellowship is why we gather in small groups. It's why we ask you, God wants to partner with you. We're sending the all call. If God's laid it on your heart to lead a small group, pray about it right now. I'm not asking you to lead a small group out of obligation. I'm saying pray, ask God, God, do you want me to lead a small group this semester? If he says yes, do it. All right? Do it. See Pastor Carl and Brenda. He'll lay something on your heart to do. Teaser, we already have a Pokemon Go small group that's starting. Already starting. Lane and I are going to do a parenting small group because we need help, y'all. So we're going to do a parenting small group. But it's just an excuse to fellowship and get together. But listen, small group leaders, you can't do it apart from God. You got to do it with the Holy Spirit working through you. All right. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to go with the backside of our notes. Can you tell when someone is insincere? Can you tell when someone is not telling you the truth completely? Maybe putting on a show? Anyone seen someone who's, I'll use the word fake. Fake. Putting on a front. Come on. Not being real. All right. Here's the thing. We all wear masks, right? And most often people do it because they're just various reasons, but they're trying to hide. There's just a lack of trust between you and that person. Just to be honest, there's a lack of trust. Why don't we trust people? We're afraid of what people think. We're afraid of what they'll say about us, if they really know what we're going through. We're too prideful, so we don't want them to see. You know, no, you got to see. Just, I'm going to dress really nice. I'm going to look really nice. I'm going to act all together. But here's the thing. We're all hurting in some way, shape, or form. We all need a healer. We all need salvation. We all need God's help. And we all need fellowship. We all need each other. So I encourage you, it's okay to wear a mask. On Sunday morning, everyone's wearing a mask. I know you are. I've called you out every time I give a message. And we joke about it, but we say, glory to God, how are you doing? I'm doing fine, glory to God, awesome. How are you really doing? You can tell, which by the way, every Sunday morning if I ask you, I'm being very serious. How are you really doing? Because I really care about you and I want to know. You can be honest with me. You can take off the mask, period. But if you don't, I love you anyway. No pressure. But in small groups, in community, the mask does need to come off. Otherwise, it's fake fellowship. Otherwise, it's not genuine, it's not real. So I'm going to get very practical. Let's dig in right now. I got the last portion of my message is going to be very practical. You can take this with you into the small group semester, and we can have some real fellowship at our church. Now, it starts with love. So I got this scripture, Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Here's how you avoid the fake fellowship. Our motivation has to be the love of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It all begins with this love for God. Love of God is so sincere. There's nothing fake about his love. Love is our motivation to avoid the fake, all right? So I gave you 5 keys to remember to avoid fake fellowship. And I'll warn you, this takes a lot of courage. It takes courage to do this. But if you commit to it, you're going to have some vibrant, life-giving relationships in your life. You're going to be truly the family of God, the church family. Number one, fellowship takes humility. It takes humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Don't put on that front. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. I went to a church conference, multiple church conferences, but there's one that Brian Houston was speaking at, senior pastor of Hillsong Church, massive, huge church out of Australia, awesome man of God, great public speaker. He was giving a speaking and giving a lesson. He was saying he met Joyce Meyer. How many of you love Joyce Meyer? She's an awesome woman of God, great teacher. He asked Joyce Meyer, do you ever get nervous? And she looked at him like he was an idiot. Like, nervous? He goes, well, yeah, do you ever get nervous when you're about to speak? Brian Houston's so sincere. He's like, was that wrong to ask? And she said, I don't think about myself. I can't get nervous. I don't think about myself. I'm thinking about how I can help the other person. She's so humble. She's thinking about how she can focus on helping people. And that's the thing. Like, everyone's not really looking at you. They're looking to see Jesus. They're looking for help. So I encourage you, be humble. It's not thinking of yourself, thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less is humility. Just think of yourself less. Think about other people and how you can serve them. So real fellowship takes humility. Number two, fellowship takes courtesy. Courtesy. It does. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, make allowance for others' faults. Just give them some slack. Make allowance for others' faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Be kind, be patient, be merciful, be gracious. We all have quirks, right? We all can be annoying at times. Ask Lelaine, I can be annoying to her at times. She's looking at me like, what? Don't say that. But I admit, I'm quirky, and I can be annoying at times. I have a different personality than other people. We all have unique personality types, and sometimes some personality types don't like the other kind because they prefer to do things one way. You know, extroverts usually like to always hang out. Introverts are like, man, I just want to stay home. Leave me alone. You know, I want to rest. I want to build up my energy. But here's the thing. Fellowship has nothing to do with compatibility. I'll say it again. Fellowship has nothing to do with compatibility. What we have in common is our faith in Jesus. In fact, iron sharpens iron is what the Bible says. So does one man sharpen another. Iron has to sharpen iron through friction. You got to rub shoulder to shoulder with people, and you're going to annoy people at times. Come on. So you learn to love that way. You get perfected in that way. You get created more into the look more like Jesus in that way. So we got to be courteous to one another. We got to show each other grace. Basis for our fellowship is our relationship with God. We're family. That's why we fellowship. Not because we're compatible. No. If anything, so many of us are so incompatible. Just be real. But we learn to love through that. That's good. Number three, remember this key. Fellowship takes confidentiality. Oh, this is important. This is so important. I can't stress how important this is. I'll show you a scripture to stress it. Proverbs 11:13, it says, gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Listen, gossip is the poison for every single church. And I'll let you know right now, gossip is not allowed at Victory Church. Amen. Amen, or am I? Amen, right? Amen. Gossip's not allowed here. Not allowed here. What happens in small groups stays in small groups. You're protected in small groups. The small group leader says, hey, it stays here. If you got sin to confess, it stays here. We'll pray for you here. We're not going to broadcast it to the church. If you got an issue in your marriage, it stays here. We're not going to broadcast it to the church. Having problems with your kids, it stays here. We're not going to broadcast it. You don't have to worry about us telling the pastors. You don't have to worry about us telling other leaders. You don't have to worry about us going, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, we got to pray for her. Have you ever heard that in church? That's gossip. It's wrong. It's betraying trust. Betraying trust. You've got to have people in your life that you can trust. You got to have people in your life that you can trust. The number one reason why people don't get close is because they've been burned. They've been betrayed. Listen, Jesus was betrayed too. Remember his name? Judas. Oh, one of his 12 disciples. He was in the small group. He was in the small group with Jesus. Imagine if Jesus would have just gotten so bitter by being betrayed and said, forget this. God, Father, we're not starting the church anymore. can you imagine him doing it? No. He responded the right way. Even on the cross, when he was being nailed to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't give up on the other 11 because of the one that betrayed him. Don't give up on small groups because you've been betrayed in the past in relationships. That's good. Amen. Number four, fellowship takes frequency. It takes frequency. I'll say this, you can't rush it. You can't rush it. You know how long Jesus took with his disciples just to get them quasi-ready? 3.5 years with his disciples, right? 3.5 years. And they still ditched him when he was going to the cross. Man, they weren't perfect. It takes time. It takes time and it takes frequency. They met often, every day, every week they met. Now in small groups, we don't ask you to meet every single day, but we do ask you to meet weekly. And we ask you to stick it out too. Do you know, I'm giving you some behind the scenes info here, we keep track of small group attendance at our church because we want to know how you guys are doing, because we love you and we want to shepherd you. It's not because we're big brother and it's because truly we want to know how you're doing. And what we've seen at the end of every small group semester, it ramps up in attendance and then dips off suddenly the last few weeks. What's going on? People are not keeping to this principle. You got to have frequency. In fact, most small groups, the last few weeks are the best. That's when you get to know each other the best. That's when the trust is built. That's when you actually begin to open up and get some freedom in your life from the sin that you're struggling with, because you need to trust that group. I want to encourage everyone here, stick with the small group semester and even go beyond it. Meet after it. Follow up with the small group leaders. Small group leaders, follow up with the people that you built relationships with. It takes frequency. Fellowship takes frequency. In Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Don't do it because I'm saying, oh, Pastor Bill's, or Pastor Mike's forcing me to do this because he told me to do it on Sunday. It's like, no, out of love for people, commit to this as a principle. Stick to frequency. It takes frequency. Fellowship. Don't give up. Number five, and I'll close with this. Fellowship takes honesty. It takes honesty. You got to be real. You got to be real. 1 John 1, 7 through 8 says this, but if we live where? In the light. Go and say it again. In the light. If we live in the light, as God is in the light, we can share fellowship with each other. If we live in the light. See, if you're dishonest about who you are in fellowship, and you're just putting on the mask, you're keeping stuff in the dark. Listen, the devil's in the dark, all right? God's in the light. If we bring stuff to the light in fellowship, we can have real fellowship, real closeness, real intimacy, real community. We can get closer together if we bring stuff into the light. Openness, frankness, caring enough. I'll say that caring enough to confront and resolve issues. Say, well, so-and-so offended me in small groups, so I'm not going to go back. No, go back. Be honest with them. Hey, you offended me. Well, tell me about it. Talk to each other. Confront it and resolve it, because we're family. We're family. Goes on in the scripture, then the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. Then, it happens after. This is powerful. It happens after you get stuff into the light. You bring it to God. You bring it to God's people. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. I'm not doing that. Don't do it to just anyone. Do it in fellowship. Do it when you're close. Do it when you got trust that's built. Confess your sins one to another. And then what happens? You pray for each other. And then what happens? You get healed. You go to God for salvation. You go to God's people for deliverance. You get healed. Something happens. I had a really close friend, even last night, call me, old friend from college, call me. He's saying, man, I just got to talk to you because I'm going through something rough right now and I'm about to flip out and I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said, I just got to talk to you. I just got to confess some stuff to you. And we just talked over the phone. By the end of the conversation, he just felt better. He felt more free. It didn't have him gripped. He was about to do something stupid. But by the grace of God, he knew this principle. He's got to bring it into the light. You got to have someone that you can get close to. Got to have someone you can get close to. Fellowship takes honesty. If you want freedom from sin, you need fellowship. Thank you, Jesus. That's so awesome. So let's summarize this message. Fellowship is part of God's nature. It's part of God's plan for us. We're called to gather in community, to do stuff together in groups. It's more than just eating out. It's more than just Quincy's. It's more than just a fellowship hall. It's more than that. Remember these five keys. Let's avoid being fake. Come on, can we be real at Victory Church? Will you commit to that this morning? Everyone bow your heads and let's just reflect right now. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit here and ask him to lead. lead us. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence right now. Teach us. Lead us into all truth. Holy Spirit, we ask you, what barriers are keeping us from getting close to each other? So this, between you and God right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, ask this question to God. God, what barriers are keeping me from getting close? What's keeping me? Have you been betrayed? Is pride holding you back? Is fear stopping you? Fear of what people will think? Father, right now I ask you by your Holy Spirit, bless them. Show them what they need to do. Show us what we need to do, be close, to be fellowship, to have unity in our church, real intimacy and community. Show us, God. And I got a very important question to ask you. Do you have fellowship with God? Do you have a personal relationship with him? In fact, another way of saying it, and this is way more blunt, but if you die today, would you go to heaven? You say, I don't know, Pastor Mike. I think so, I hope so, I'm not too sure. Listen, that's too important a consequence to leave to chance. Someone asked Jesus, what do I got to do to get eternal life? He said, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. You got to be born into the family of God. If you never had that born again experience, here's what it is. It doesn't mean you grew up in church. It doesn't mean you own a Bible. It means you have surrendered your life to Christ. It means you have received his forgiveness for your sins. That's what it means to be born again. If you've never done that before, that's why you're here today. So you can pray a prayer with me. I won't ask you to stand up. I won't ask you to come forward. I just want you to raise your hand. In just a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand. Say, hey, Pastor Mike, count me in that prayer. Maybe you're here today and you said, I prayed that in the past, but I know I'm not where I want to be with God. Again, that's why you're here today. God wants to get you back on track in fellowship with him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If any of those two apply to you, would you raise your hand right now and say, include me in that prayer right now? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. All right. Everyone, pray this prayer with them. Help them out. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Wash away my past. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your salvation. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Would you give God praise for those who pray that prayer and what God's doing this morning?
Man, would you give Pastor Mike...